Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. I am your host, Rick Hale. Joining me tonight, however, is not Karen, because Karen is still teaching her 16-year-old son how to drive. But sitting second banana and playing Robin to my Batman is Ryan Misha. Hey, Ryan, thanks for co-hosting tonight.
Sure. It's an honor to be asked. Thanks again.
Oh, no problem, man. So we're just really happy to have you. You know, I just wanted to say to everybody, we're sorry we're getting a little bit started a little bit late tonight. So we're probably not going to do the normal ha-has and hee-hees that we usually do at the beginning of the show. So, but I do kind of want to give you a little bit of a heads up. I mean, last week I saw something in the sky that I cannot explain. It was amazing. I'm thinking we probably have about 5 minutes for me to, you know, to explain this before we have to go to break and then call our guests. So, okay, this is what happened. I'm on my way home from work. It's about 9:15 in the morning, and I'm driving along, and I see like this white luminescent cigar-shaped thing up in the air. Now, it's just sitting there, okay? So I'm thinking it's like, this is just, you know, it's probably just a cloud or whatever. And then it moved. And when I say it moved, boy, did it ever. I mean, it was like a high-speed bailout right across the sky. I actually took a couple minutes to go see if I could find this thing. Nothing. And I mean, it was a clear day. Whatever this was, I'm not going to say that it was an alien spacecraft or anything, but I will say that it was a legitimate UFO, and by its very nature, UFO means unidentified flying object. So, I mean, what do you think of this, Ryan? Have you ever had, I mean, I think we were talking a little bit about this before the show. You said that you had a sighting once when you were just a little boy. So what happened with that?
Well, I was pretty young. I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 years old. In the car with my mother and grandmother, we were on, of all things, we were on our way to a bingo game.
Okay.
And out in the, there was a, you know, we were, I live in upstate New York, you know, there's lots of farmland and fields.
Sure.
Basically, in this one field, off in the corner, there was an object. You know, this was kind of around sundown, so it was kind of light, kind of dark, maybe a little difficult to see, but there was this object in the corner of the field. It looked pretty large and actually had lights that were circling the outside.
So this was a landed object then?
Yeah, from my memories of the event, it looked like it was sitting down in the field.
That's amazing. I mean, you never really hear about too much of that kind of thing, except, you know, with like Lonnie Zamora back in the 1960s, who was a New Mexico cop, and he drives up and he sees this spacecraft along with little gray men. I have been corrected in the past, and he sees it there, and it's very rare to actually see a landed object. So
yeah, I mean, I didn't get to see it for very long. We, like I said, there was like lights circling the outside. They're kind of following each other in a sequence around. And I remember asking my mom, what is that? And she was driving, and she basically told me to never mind, and she kind of sped up. So,
did your mom work for the government? No, I'm joking.
Not that I know of.
She's actually an undercover man in black. So, but yeah, I mean, it really is quite amazing. There is something I think that is going on there. You know, whether or not it's interdimensional beings or, you know, some dudes from a different galaxy, I'm not willing to say that just yet, but all I know what I saw is that no conventional aircraft that I'm familiar with, and, you know, hey, I just, you know, watch this kind of stuff on television, so I could be wrong, but there is nothing that I'm familiar with that could go from a dead stop and just sitting in the sky to just flying away immediately and or floating, or flying, whatever. You know, I wish I could say that I didn't hear any kind of noise, but I kind of listened to some really loud, abusive industrial metal. So, you know, I had that going in the car, but I definitely saw what I saw, and I have no doubt about what I saw was just something out of this world. I guess, does it sound a little cheesy to you, Ryan? To you, Ryan?
I don't think so. I think there's more than we know that is out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the probability is, you know, more to the point that there is something than there isn't. So.
Mm. Well, I mean, according to the Drake equation, which kind of adds up how many planets and galaxies that are out there and how many suns and how many, you know, could be in the habitable zone. And, you know, it turns out that there are really literally could be hundreds of millions of different civilizations out there, whether or not they're at the level of technology to get, you know, from their world, which could be 200 million light years away, to our world. But you know what? We're still, you know, we got the Large Hadron Collider that's either going to, you know, do time travel, space travel, or, you know, kill us all. Who knows? But, yeah, you know, but, you know, eventually it's, you know, we're going to figure out a way, and we're going to have to, especially with the way we sort of abuse our own planet. Eventually we're going to have to find a way off this rock and, you know, go out there and look. So, but okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, take a little bit of a break so we can call our guests, and our guests tonight are going to be Shane Pittman and Brandon Gamble of Spike Paranormal. And we're going to be talking to them about their investigations and about a book that they have written called The Devil's Workshop. So, you know, stick around. It's going to be live. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American news and politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com. A proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.org.
In her riveting novel, Breaking the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
Yo, what's up? This is the Black Eyed Peas, and we're here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in our lives, but nothing is more important than life itself. So when you drink and drive, you're risking the life of yourself and the lives of everybody on the road. Don't plan to drive, just plan ahead.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey everybody, we're back, and this is your host Rick Hale and Ryan Mishaw, and tonight, as I said before we went on break, joining us is going to be Shane Pittman, right?
That's right.
Okay, Shane Pittman. Sorry about that. We had a little bit of a thing there when we called you. But tonight we have Shane Pittman. Brandon was unable to make it. He had something important that just happened. And Shane is one of the founders of Spike Paranormal, and Spike means searching for the paranormal I know exists. So, Shane Pittman, welcome to the Underground.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be on the show.
Thank you for joining us. So, just the name alone was like the thing that really caught my eye. It was like Spike, you know, it kind of makes you guys sound a little bit tough. So, but what I'm really interested in, and we like talking about this. Now, one thing that I like to ask before we get started is, what was it that sparked your interest in this field?
Well, what's really sparked my interest in the paranormal, really all started, and you know, I know there's a lot of cliche answers out there, but a lot of it started when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
My first experience was when I was 6 years old. Okay. But at that time, I'm going to be honest with you, from about 6 to probably 13, 14 years old, it scared me to death.
Do you mind telling us what it is exactly that happened?
Yes. There was numerous things. I had where when I was in my room one time when I was 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
and this is one thing that really, really scared me to death. I was in my room, and to give a little background, the night before I was out with a friend at a friend's house spending the night.
Okay.
And, you know, my family, I grew up in a really religious background, so things like Ouija boards and things like that were a big no-no.
Oh, yeah, so did I.
We were always told, you know, you're going to bring out the demons, all of that stuff.
Okay.
Well, my friend had a Ouija board at his house.
Okay.
And he pulled it out, and of course, I was kind of apprehensive about it. But, you know, he brought it out, and nothing really happened. Nothing really happened there at his house.
Okay.
It was pretty much, we were laughing, making a joke of it. Well, the next day I go home, I'm laying in my bed at night, and my closet door was open a little bit, which, mm-hmm. you know, I never had a really big deal with anything like that.
Okay.
Well, all of a sudden, the closet door slams as hard as it could.
Okay.
And I jumped up, and I ran into my parents' room, and I told them, you know, look, this just happened. They, you know, took me back to my room and said, look, you were just having a nightmare or something. You know, it's okay. Nothing's around. You know, they checked the house, made sure, and it was nothing.
Sure.
Not even five minutes later, they walk out of my room. And my mother makes the mistake of leaving the closet door open again.
Mm-hmm.
Not even 5 minutes later, it slams again. And this time, my parents run into the room thinking that I'm playing a prank on them.
Right.
And that one experience right there really, really terrified me, because in
now,
my mind I was thinking, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, do you attribute this directly to playing with the Ouija board? I mean, I usually joke around with people, how dangerous can it possibly be? It has Parker Brothers on it, written somewhere on it.
Right.
But, I mean, do you think that you called up something that, you know, may have been bad? Besides just the ghost of Parker Brothers?
Well, you know, and that's a very good question. You know, and I've said this on my radio show and things like that. You know, with the paranormal, everything is a possibility.
Yes.
And I believe, you know, until we prove it 100%, anything is possible, mm-hmm. in the paranormal, because it's the unexplained.
Yes.
So I believe that particular instance maybe the act of what we were doing, mm-hmm. maybe not the actual material there, but the act of something that we were doing, the type of energy that we were exerting in a certain situation, could have brought this on or heightened the activity. You see what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you're saying, because I think oftentimes that there are people who do have, you know, either psychic, you know, psychic abilities or latent psychic abilities, and just by using something that is, you know, more or less divination, their abilities as well as using this to communicate is definitely something that could call something forward. And I mean, obviously it's not going to jump completely out of the board and rip your face off, but
Hollywood would like you to believe that, definitely. But.
Yeah, they would. I mean, like the movie Witchboard, it's a classic horror flick and totally cheesy, but it's not even close to being real. So, no, I know exactly what you're saying. You know, anything in this field, I've learned over the years is, like, completely possible.
Right. I completely agree with you there.
Yeah. So, okay, let's jump forward to forming Spike. Now, I'm really glad to hear that you're not saying that, you know, your D&D game let out early on a Wednesday night back in 2004, and you decided to catch a cool new television show on the Sci-Fi Channel. So I'm glad to hear that. That's just a little joke that I say to people. But let's jump forward to Spike Paranormal. Now, have you always been friends with Brandon? Was he always a buddy, or was it somebody that you met that had, you know, a similar interest?
Well, no. To be honest, my Brandon, he is my brother-in-law.
Okay.
His sister, of course, is my wife, Esther, mm-hmm. and she's also one of the co-founders of Spike Paranormal. So we actually met probably around 8 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we really didn't talk that much in the beginning. You know, we would say, hey, what's up, and things like that. But it wasn't until right before we started Spike where we started having a lot of similar interests, and you know, a lot of things started clicking with the both of us.
Yeah, I think it's funny how a lot of these things sort of happen. You're just, you know, sitting around maybe eating barbecue, drinking some beers, and the next thing you know, it's like, hey, let's start a ghost hunting group.
Well, yeah, it wasn't quite like that. With our team, you know, I'll go a little bit into how we formed and all of that good stuff.
Well, hang on now. Hold on one second, Shane. Now, you guys actually wrote a book about this called The Devil's Workshop, correct?
Right. You're exactly right. It's not going to be released until October now.
Okay.
We were going to have it out by the 25th. That was the deadline. The deadline was not met. So now it's going to be in October sometime, and we'll give a definite date whenever, you know, we know a little bit more of what's going on. But it's definitely coming. It's going to be out in October sometime.
So since this is your story, I mean, of course, you can give us, you know, kind of like a preview of what to expect. Now, I know one of the things that you really cover in the book is how, you know, Spike formed. Now, you said it wasn't, you know, over beers and barbecue. So, you know, how exactly did this come about?
Okay, well, Brandon, he went and found a house. You know, he was looking for a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And he found this one place, you know, it was fairly priced, and, you know, he saw potential where he could fix it up and things like that, so he decided to move in.
Okay.
Well, the very first day that he was there, some weird things were going on. And he told me he said the first night that he was there, he walked into the kitchen and all the cabinet doors were open, every single one of them. And he said, I know it sounds crazy because it sounds like something right out of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he didn't think much of it at the time. He just closed them. And the next morning he would go back in there and they'd be all wide open again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it started off as small activity, small little things happening, you know, he wasn't thinking much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it started escalating to the point where he would be hearing, and I don't want to give too much away because of the book, you know, those who want to read the book.
Sure.
But it started escalating to the point where he would hear things in other rooms being picked up, and it sounded like they'd be thrown across the room.
Okay.
He would hear heavy footsteps, things like that. Banging on walls.
Definitely, you know, that kind of thing is really scary, especially when you're alone. We live in a 100-year-old house just north of Chicago, and it's really cool. Every now and then, you actually hear somebody walking up the stairs. And it's like, we're, you know, not only have we heard it, but we've also had people here too. It's like, well, who's that on the stairs? You guys walking up and down the stairs? It's like, no, it's one of our invisible roommates. So definitely that kind of thing is very frightening.
Yeah. And you know, it terrified them. There was one night in particular. I'll never forget this. Mm-hmm. There was one night in particular. Brandon comes to my house at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
In near tears, okay, grown man, in near tears, terrified to death. He told me that he was in his room, and for whatever reason, his door that leads to his room, he left it cracked, and he always would watch TV, and, you know, he would leave his door open a little bit. Okay. The door kept opening and shutting. Opening and shutting, and he would see a shadow, like cast, you know, like if the light's on in a hallway, mm-hmm. and you see it in your bedroom, and he would see a shadow of a person.
So now we have actual apparitions now.
Right. And it terrified him so bad that he could not move. He thought that somebody was in the home. He didn't automatically assume, okay, this is paranormal.
Yeah.
He thought somebody was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Opening and messing with him. So finally he gets up enough courage, he jumps up out of bed, he goes to the door, goes throughout the whole house, nobody's there.
Okay.
So he goes back into his room, back into his bed, and this happens again, but with the intensity where he would the door would be opening faster, closing faster.
Mm-hmm.
He
so
said,
what...
And, whenever he showed up at my house, it scared him so bad, he jumped out of his bedroom window.
Really? I mean, that kind of terror.
And got in his car and came to my house terrified.
So what was your general reaction to this? You know, did you do like the whole guy thing, like, dude, man up and go back to bed? Or what was your reaction to this?
Well, you know, it was a little bit of both. I told him because, you know, when I was younger, I did experience some things. So, of course, I was listening to what he was saying, and I understood where he was coming from as far as the fear goes.
Right.
But I told him, I said, well, you know, what we really need to do, man, is we really need to check it out. Because, mm-hmm. you know, me personally, I don't want to classify anything as paranormal unless I eliminate every misperception that there could possibly be, or to the best of my ability, anyway.
That's a very safe thing to do, yes.
I believe that eliminating the misperception, that is when you can start leaning towards something being paranormal or not.
Sure.
So I told him, I said, let's check this out, man. You know, maybe there's an explanation for it. Maybe there's something that, you know, we can explain away and we can put your mind at ease and we can go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I went over to his house with him the next night. He stayed there he stayed at my house and got some rest.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over there the next day. And as soon as we drove into the driveway, I don't like to go off of feeling alone, but as soon mm-hmm. as I got pulled up in the driveway, there was something not right. You know, whenever you have a feeling, you know, if you're walking in a dark alleyway,
yeah,
and there's just something, you just feel uneasy. You feel like, you know, you're being watched. You know, you have that kind of uneasiness there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fight or flight mechanism, or as I like to call it, you know, the theory of holy shit, there's a saber-toothed tiger standing behind me. So, but yeah, definitely,
right,
I'm
right.
feeling all too well.
Right. So, you know, I immediately felt that. And to be honest, still, I was like, okay, there may be a natural explanation. I know that Brandon came over to my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking this to myself. I know he's coming. He came over to my house. Maybe this is me working myself up a little bit. You know, maybe there's still an explanation. Let's just go check it out. You know,
right.
So we walk in, and I walk into the house, and the air, the atmosphere, the air in his house was so thick I could barely breathe.
Okay,
it was almost as if a pressure was on my chest so heavy. It was very hard to breathe.
Okay.
You know, in certain parts of the house, I would feel real disoriented, real lightheaded, and things like that.
Now, did you guys take a look at anything, you know, the possibility, especially if it's an older house, the possibility of there being carbon monoxide leaks? Because, you know, it's like there have been a few times where I've done an investigation where it's answered by there's a minor carbon monoxide leak, and it does these kind of things to people. Did you guys look into that?
No, we did not. To be honest with you, as far as researching the paranormal to the extent of, you know, eliminating all the possibilities and things like that, we weren't too much into it at that time. Now, I've always read up on things and tried to research different unexplained things. But as far as the tools that you can use and the things that you could do to explain things away, we weren't too experienced with. I would be honest and tell you that right now. So that could have been a possibility in that regard, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, okay, yeah, it does kind of make you feel dizzy. It does kind of make you feel sick. But at the same time, it's not going to make you see apparitions of people walking through your house.
Right.
So,
right,
there's,
right.
You know, you definitely have to, you know, look at all the other things that are real common to what we know as nature. But oftentimes I think we get so involved with that we don't, you know, see the forest through the trees, that there is actually something there that can't quite be explained away so easily. So let's jump ahead to when you guys form your group. And now you have your group. You know, let's talk about some of your investigations. Everybody likes to hear the scary stories, you know. I'm not really so much that kind of guy because I'm very much involved with the research end of it. But, you know, let's talk about your investigations. You know, what is it? Is there any that really comes to mind that you could say it's like, wow, that really, you know, scared me or, you know, whatever? Do you have anything like that?
Well, there's quite a few, but one in particular that really stands out, and a lot of people haven't heard of this place. It's mm-hmm. the Pauley Jail in Union Springs, Alabama.
Okay.
For some reason, I'm really drawn to this place, and it's not as much the paranormal activity that goes on in this place. What really attracts me is the history behind it.
Okay.
This jail was used, it was built back in the early 1900s.
Okay.
And excuse me, I'm sorry.
Well, that's been right.
The inmates that were in this jail were mainly consisting of murderers and rapists. And
so this was kind of like one of those jails that, you know, it's like, yeah, there's some really bad stuff that happened here and some bad people.
Right, some very bad energy, very bad energy. Mm-hmm. But I found this out from the local historian. The local historian also told me that, and if you go to this place, and I encourage you, if you ever get a chance to come down to the south, I encourage you to take a visit to this place. It's amazing. But it's three stories. It's a three-story jail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that big as far as the capacity on the inside. And he told me that in the summertime, the jail would be at such a capacity where there would be 8 to 10 inmates in one single cell.
Right.
Now whenever you walk into the cells, you would get a better idea of what I'm talking about. But it is such close quarters that you know, I was getting slightly claustrophobic with just three people in a cell.
Okay.
Just imagine 10 in the dead heat of summer. Mm-hmm. Where it wasn't ventilated, wasn't anything. I mean, you coupled that with, you know, the type of people that were there and then the type of environment that they had to live in. It's crazy, and you can feel it as soon as you walk into the place. And there was a certain inmate in particular, Aberdeen Johnson. He was accused of raping a woman in the early 1900s. Okay. And, you know, they housed him at that jail for protection because he was an African-American and he was accused of raping a white female.
Yeah.
And
that's a sad part of our history.
Right. So especially at that time, it was really a controversial topic anyway.
Right.
So they housed him there for protection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come to find out, the sheriff at the time kind of sold Aberdeen Johnson out and informed the lynch mob, informed the mob that was looking for him where he was located.
Yeah.
And actually let the mob come in and grab him. And this is in the Union Springs Herald, so it can be looked up and validated. They found him in the corner of a cell, crouched in the corner, begging for mercy.
Sure.
They pulled him out of the jail and they took him 2 miles east of Union Springs, mm-hmm. and hung him up by his wrist to a tree that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mob proceeded to shoot him, and over 500 bullets riddled his body. And they said that he was shot so many times in the neck that his head was only hanging by a strand of flesh. So the overseer of the jail told us, if anyone haunts this place, it's going to be Aberdeen Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm very much familiar with the place that you're talking about. My family is originally from Huntsville. And,
oh, okay. They're very close there.
Yeah, and actually we're descended from Stephen Hale, who Hale County is named after. So, yeah, definitely. I'm very much familiar with that, and I'm very much familiar with hearing stories about, you know, my grandfather used to tell us stories about that kind of thing went on up until, my God, almost the 1970s in the South.
Right.
And I can definitely see that, you know, with something like that happening, yeah, I would definitely agree with that, with the warden, by, you know, the historian saying that that if anybody haunts this place, it's going to be Aberdeen. So what exactly is it that goes on there besides just feelings? I mean, I'm a big believer in feelings, but most people aren't. You know, what kind of things are witnessed there to make it a little bit more solid?
Well, number one thing that we get a lot of times when we do visit the jail is EVPs. We get a lot of EVPs. We actually caught an EVP saying Aberdeen on the spirit box, which we did use a lot there.
Okay.
It would say Aberdeen Johnson. It would say Red Williams, which was a sheriff at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It would say a lot of different things on the spirit box. One particular instance that really stood out to me is me, Joey Morris, which is one of our investigators, Taylor Wyke, another one of our investigators, and my wife, we were upstairs on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey was filming us, and we were about to head back downstairs. We were just checking out the place. And when Joey was walking towards me,
mm-hmm.
behind him, the cell door, they're cast iron cell doors, so they're very, very heavy.
Oh, sure.
It slammed so hard, and nobody was behind him, and he was filming with our cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And cell door slammed so hard behind him, because we said right before then, we were like, you know, you know, if there's anything here, anybody here, you know, we want to see something. We want to see something happen, you know, to validate to us that something is here.
See, now, it's so funny that you say that, how exciting it is, because I've been in the field for a long time, and I got to be honest with you, I've seen a lot of things, and I've experienced a lot of things, man, but when you see and experience something still, you can't help but just be so incredibly excited that you're witnessing something that
it's an adrenaline rush.
Exactly. You're told is not supposed to exist, but you know it does. So,
right.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
And you know, Joey is actually my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you right now, that's the first time I've ever seen him that afraid.
Mm-hmm.
He almost dropped our cameras. But the cell doors slammed so hard that it resonated throughout the entire jail.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I've ever seen him that scared. And he'll probably kick me for saying that later. But I mean,
just give us his number and we'll call him. Say your brother was making fun of you right on the air. No, no, go ahead.
There you go. But I'll have to admit, a little bit after that, I laughed about it because, you know, we asked a question, it happened, mm-hmm. and I got to see my brother, you know, almost pee himself, you know, so it was pretty funny. So.
Yeah. Is this an older brother?
No, that's a younger brother.
He's so much better when it's older, you know?
Well, I don't know. I'm the oldest of the family, so.
Okay. You know. Okay.
But, you know, that's one thing, Rick, that really, really interests me. And all the places that we go, of course, the paranormal is a very big part of my life now. And it's something that I try to actively research and actively try to study up on so I can help other people. But one major thing that really, really, really pumps me up when we go to different locations is mm-hmm. studying up on the history and knowing what happened at the time and what the conditions were at that time and things that went on that could explain some of the things that are going on, or maybe nothing regarding the paranormal is even going on, but right. just the history of the place alone is exciting to me too.
Oh, I'm a total mm-hmm. history nerd. You know, it was my favorite subject in high school and still my favorite subject even today.
Right. So you know exactly what I'm talking about then.
Yes.
Yep.
Hey, there he is. There's Ryan. Hey, Ryan, welcome back.
I'm here. I'm just listening.
Okay. Now I'm just giving you a hard time, buddy. All right. Proceed, Shane. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. But, you know, just like I was saying, the history is awesome. But another thing that really fuels me and really, really is why I'm in the field now as actively as I am
mm-hmm.
is being able to help people, you know, period.
Yeah.
I've been in the situation where I was terrified because I just did not know what was going on.
Yeah.
Even if some of those times could have been explained, there was no one there to be able to help me at all. So that's what really fuels me, and that's what really motivates me. And my passion is, if I can help one person, no matter what it is, if I can help them explain or help them cope with what they're going through, then it's all worth it to me, man. And you know, that's what Spike Paranormal really is. It's not about us. It's about other people. It's about informing other people and doing the best to study this field and make some headway with it.
Okay, I think I'm going to jump in here because I think we lost Rick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think... Ryan, are you there? Did we lose you, too?
No, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. All right, well, until we get Rick back... Ryan, did you have any questions for Shane?
Well, sure. Getting back to Spike Paranormal, as a group, as a team, what kind of sets you guys apart from everyone else? What sort of procedures or whatnot do you have that you think sets you apart?
Well, I think one thing that sets us apart, and you know, not saying that we're any better than anybody else or anything
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing that really sets us apart, man, is relating to the people that we are trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say that as we, you know, everyone in the group to some degree has experienced something they couldn't explain.
Yeah,
but
you know,
I think what really...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No. No. Sorry. I'll follow it up when you're done.
Okay. But one thing I think really sets us apart is what drives us is to help those. You know, why I research extensively on certain things and things like that is, yes, to try to, you know, understand the paranormal a little bit more and try to help out in the field. But
sure.
One thing that really fuels it the most is to be able to help that one person that you know, everyone else thinks is crazy, or everyone else thinks they need to go see a psychiatrist, or, you know, they need some mental health, things like that.
Yeah.
You know,
to help that one person, that really fuels it.
Right. It's so funny because I work in the psychiatric field. That's my profession. And, okay. You know, crazy people don't know that they're crazy. They don't think they're crazy. They think they're perfectly normal. So when somebody says, oh, well, you know, well, maybe I'm crazy, it's like, no, you're perfectly normal. You may just have seen something the wrong way. You know, there was some kind of misperception. But let's talk a little bit about the idea of helping people. Because you know what, Shane, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I have met since about, well, 2004, I've met and talked to a lot of people. We've even had them on the show here, and they'll say, oh, no, it's all about the notoriety. And so it's always refreshing to hear somebody who's like, you know, we want to, you know, help somebody.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, when you say that, I mean, let's go into how you guys run an investigation. I always like to ask, you know, you know, get us from the beginning, you know, from the very start, you know, that from that initial phone call to the very end. How does Spike Paranormal conduct an investigation?
Okay, that's a very good question. The from the initial phone call, especially when we're dealing with a client in particular, mm-hmm. on a personal level, what we like to do is we like to find out a little bit of their background, you know, not trying to say, hey, I want to know all about your personal life right off the bat. It's not all about that. But,
right.
You know, I feel that getting some background on that client is extremely important because it mm-hmm. can help you in the future.
Right.
So that's one thing that we do is we try to get a background. Okay, what's been going on lately? What's some things, you know, of course, what have you been experiencing, things like that. But we go more into, okay, how is the stress level in the home? How are things going on there? The next thing we do is we set up an initial interview where we can meet the person in person and kind of talk some things over and explain, you know, how we respect the privacy, that this is something to help you. It's not something that's going to be out there, even though we have a radio show and we have a television show. It's mm-hmm. not going to be publicly put out unless you would like for it to. If we do or do not find any findings, you know, your privacy is of utmost importance to us. That's the next thing that we do.
Now,
the
do
next
you
thing
guys?
We do
I was just going to say. I was just going to ask. Do you guys have actual paperwork that you have people fill out?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right.
I believe it's really important as well. Because it to the person that we're helping, you know, it kind of validates, okay, there's a process, there's things that they're really serious about wanting to help me. They're really serious about what they do and the certain procedures that they go through. So I think it validates to them, okay, look, I'm dealing with somebody that, you know, has put some time into the research and put some time into the process and, you know, it makes them feel a little more at ease. I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, it makes them feel more at ease with the paperwork process and things like that.
Okay.
The next thing we do after the initial interview is we set up a time where we can visit the place where the activity is occurring.
Okay.
And so we set up the time and we go out there and we take the investigators. And one of my major things, especially in a residential home, I like to do the testing of, first off, I like to know the age of the home.
Right, of course.
I like to do the testing of the electromagnetic field,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Any high levels, I like to make sure that we get accurate readings. I like to know if there's any underground wiring, anything like that, that could cause, you know, because there's some theories as far as, you know, with EMF frequencies and certain things, certain people can have reactions to it and could, react to it in certain ways. So I like to get that established as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, floorboards, when, you know, the air conditioning and the heating is turned on and off, you know, it can contract whenever,
yes.
if the heat's on and then it starts to cool, the mm-hmm. wood can actually contract and it can make the creaking sound that you hear a lot of people say, well, I've heard creaking down my hallway or things like that. So
yeah,
there's definitely
a difference between creaking and actual footfalls.
Right. You're exactly right with that. So we do those types of readings, you know, try to get a scientific base. Okay, is there something on a scientific level that could explain this? Is there something that metaphysical, something that we can explain?
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, we listen to the client as far as what they tell us has been going on, and we do different experiments. As far as after we eliminate all the misperception,
okay.
which is a very big thing to me. Once we eliminate that and, you know, okay, we don't have a definite answer of this or that, the next
right.
thing that we do is, you know, we'll go into doing some experiments, you know, doing some EVP sessions and things like that.
Okay.
And going forward with that process and whether or not we do or do not have any findings, we follow up with the client and let them know. And then, depending on the situation, we set up a course of action of what we're going to do in the future to
okay.
help the person. I'm a very firm believer in not leaving a client or anybody that we're dealing with hanging, and going to their place one time and saying, oh, okay, well, thank you very much. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have a good one. Not giving them an answer to anything that's going on is pointless for you to be there in the first place.
Right.
Your main job is trying to get to the root of the problem, whatever it may be, and
okay.
helping that person. That's the main thing, helping that person.
Okay.
And we do what it takes, and we'll be there as long as we can until we do help them.
Right. Shane, you know, with that being said, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break because we have come up to the top of the hour. And when
okay.
we come back, we'll go into a little bit more detail. I also want to talk about your television show. Those are always, you know, really great to watch because you get a feel about how different people work. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking still more with Shane Pittman of Spike Paranormal. So this is Paranormal Underground at ztalkradio.com. Stick around.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com. Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The competition has taken notice.
Oh my God!
Good luck keeping up with us.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts. I am your host, Rick, and joining me tonight as co-host, sitting second banana, is Ryan Meshaw. And for the last 45 minutes or so, we have been talking to Shane Pittman of Spike Paranormal. And, you know, Shane, thank you for sticking around for another, you know, hour or so of the show. Thanks for hanging.
No problem.
So this is a question that I like to ask, and people, you know that I feel very passionate about this, especially when I'm talking to, you know, people who are a little bit newer to the field and have, you know, newer groups. Have you guys ever worked with a person that has psi abilities? And by psi, of course, I mean, you know, psychic. I kind of don't really care for that term very much, but, do you guys work with anybody like that? Do you believe in working with that kind of thing?
Well, recently, to answer your question, no, we haven't worked with one as far as in any investigation. Mm-hmm. Recently, I have talked to Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. I have a very, very good relationship with her, and we've been talking a lot. And she has a show on Blog Talk Radio, and she's a psychic and also an energy healer, and she's specializes in alternative medicine, and mm-hmm. I had a particular person that I was dealing with, a particular client that I referred her to Dr. Kim.
Okay.
So in that regard, I have worked with her. I do believe in working with, you know, a medium or a psychic. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, we had Ms. Alexandra Holzer on the show. On our radio show last night.
Hold on one second. How come you guys can get Alexandra Holzer and we can't? Cheryl, we got to get on this, man. I mean, as everybody knows, I have a serious man crush on her dad. So,
well, Shane can hook us up, right, Shane?
Hey, I can talk to her for you guys. No problem at all. I can talk to her for you.
Sweet. Okay.
definitely.
But we had her on the show yesterday, and you know, I'm a very big fan of Dr. Hans Holzer, late father.
Yes.
I'm a very big fan of his work. Anybody listening right now, if you haven't read any of his books, I encourage you to go out there and read up on it. He is the original, you know, pioneer in the field, in my opinion.
No, he's a huge influence on me when I was, you know, a kid. I think the very first book I ever took out was Life After Life by him. I was like 8 years old, and, you know, I was the creepy kid that came in looking for these books. But, yeah, I mean, huge influence.
Right, right. And his daughter, Alexandra, she is a very sweet lady, very, very knowledgeable in the field. But mm-hmm. I'm saying all of that to say this. She has medium ability. She is also a medium.
Okay.
And I've been very interested in what she calls the Holzer method, which what her father said the Holzer method is, you know, mm-hmm. mixing the scientific with the metaphysical,
yes.
going in, and you're taking a medium with you to validate some things if there's something of a paranormal nature going on.
Well, I think, too, that, you know, right now, for whatever reason, you know, for 130 years, it was perfectly acceptable to work with a person that has psi abilities. I won't conduct an investigation without my very best friend, and she's kind of a spiritual mom of mine, Nancy LaPorta. I will not conduct an investigation without her impressions. And I can't understand why all of a sudden it's become all about science, 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 science. And people are like, well, psychics, you know, mediums, that's not scientific. Well, yeah, actually it is. It's a little bit more scientific than walking into a house and yelling and swearing at something that may or may not even be there.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's
yeah,
a flashlight trick.
Well,
was that right?
Or it's more scientific than the flashlight trick, where
yeah, actually, I have it on good. I have it on good confidence that actually was very much faked on television. But you know, okay, so you know, proceed with Alexandra Holzer and the Holzer method,
right.
Which is yeah,
right. And you know, like what you were saying with, you know, walking in it, and as far as the feeling and things like that, our bodies. Here is a firm belief, again, that I do have. I believe that if you are doing a paranormal investigation, I believe one of the greatest tools that you can use, besides any of these high-tech, fancy things that we see, you know, especially on television and things like that, the best tool that you can use is yourself.
Yeah.
But you've got to be careful, of course, with that as far as, you know, separating the emotion from something that could actually be there, but at the same time, your body is a great tool
mm-hmm.
to use, you know, to even with feeling, but you've got to be extremely careful in that regard whenever you're relying, you can't rely completely on the feeling.
Well, no,
of
I mean,
of course,
I,
it's important.
No, go ahead.
Of course, it can play a factor. But mm-hmm. you gotta have a good balance. You gotta have, you know, I believe that you can use a little bit of a scientific, and you can use it, and you can make a perfect balance that, you know, it flows together a lot better. You can't rely completely on one or completely on the other. You gotta have a little balance there to kind of level it out.
Yeah. I think that with a lot of people, now we actually had a group on the show where the guy was like, "Oh no, I absolutely don't believe in psychics. I believe in ghosts, but I, you know, basically don't believe in the people that can bridge that gap." It's like, well, wait
that
a second.
That blows my mind. That blows my mind.
Yeah, it really blew my mind too. And it's like I think it's the whole idea of the complete package. If you say that you believe in an afterlife, you say that you believe in spirits, you say that you believe in dealing with these spirits, there has to be the people, however rare it may be, that are able to bridge that gap. But I like what you say about feelings, and you're right. You cannot completely go on feelings, just like you cannot completely go on what a psychic says, even if you do completely trust that person.
It was never meant to be a method of evidence, but just a way of, or never used as evidence, but a method on how to proceed. I mean, would you agree right. that that's kind of the misperception that people have these days?
I completely agree. Another misperception that, you know, I'd really like to bring up, because I'm in the South, I'm in the Bible Belt.
Yes.
And a lot of people, you know, and I've met a lot of paranormal investigators and paranormal investigation teams that will not deal with mediums because the Bible says not to. And, you know,
I was just going to say, then you can't do EVPs either, because whether or not you want to believe it, that is part of physical
media. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But the misperceptions there, you know, just be, and look, you know, I'm a very firm believer in faith. I have a very strong faith mm-hmm. in God. Okay. I really do, because I believe that what I've dealt with, if there's a pure good or, you know, there's bad, if there's a pure evil, there's got to be a pure good. There's got to sure. be something out there. If I believe in spirits and ghosts and things like that, how am I not supposed to believe in a higher being or a higher power? So I believe in that regard, but when people say, you know, well, the Bible says this with mediums, I'm not going to deal with them. Well,
yeah.
that's not a fair observation at all, because a lot of people that I have met that do not claim to be mediums at all have had some clairvoyance, some things happen, mm-hmm. different things that happen, and you know, are they evil because that happened to them? They didn't ask for it to happen, but it happened. So are they all of a sudden of the devil because they experienced this thing? No, not at all. It's not intended. You know, people have a big misperception on that, definitely.
Yeah. What, Ryan, what do you think about that? Because I know that you feel very strongly about, you know, the complete package of paranormal investigation as well. What do you think has caused people to completely distrust the more spiritual side of what we do?
It's hard to say. I think there's a lot of different factors involved. But, you know, as you mentioned, I like to come from things more, you know, as well-rounded as possible, where you have psychics and mediums who get impressions and whatnot, and then you also have scientific equipment that gets results or mm-hmm. Readings, and when they match up, then for me, that's a sign that there's something there,
and yeah.
you can collaborate between the different methods.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
No, it's like I will admit I am clairsentient. I am. I can feel the presence of a spirit, but that's not good enough for me. I want to catch that voice, or I want to catch that picture, or I want to catch that video. And
right.
I think that if you're going to go through the complete package, man, it's like it's not enough to just feel. It's there's got to be so much more that you're able to show the world. But see, okay, I'm glad that we talked about that, Shane. You passed the test. Way to go.
All right.
No, I'm just joking here. It's always, I think it's something that's important that does need to be addressed.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go into, you know, media. Now,
okay.
You have your own radio show, correct?
Yes, sir, we do. It's the Spike Paranormal Radio Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Spreaker.com. I know, you know, maybe not a lot of people have heard about it, but it's Spreaker.com. It's the internet radio.
Mm-hmm.
We broadcast every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
So you can check us out on Spreaker.com, backslash, it's been a long day, been a long day. Backslash Spike Paranormal.
So when did you guys start doing the radio show?
The radio show, it's been probably 4 months. It has not been long at all.
Okay.
And we're building up a pretty good listener base. We have about 1,500 followers right now, which, you know, it may not seem like much compared to you guys. You guys are pretty much the on the higher end there, but you know, we have 1,500 followers.
Don't think that. I think we have like five people, and that's probably including our mother. So.
No, I don't believe that at all. Come on. I'm sure some aunts and uncles are in there somewhere, too.
Probably, yeah. But no, go ahead.
But, yeah, we have a pretty good base. You know, 1,500 followers so far, and it's going strong. And, you know, with the radio show, what me and my co-host Brandon, what we try to do is we want to let people know, look, we're everyday guys just like any of you. We're everyday people, yeah. That we have a passion for what we do, and you know, we sit, it's like sitting out, you know, around a bonfire and drinking a couple of beers and mm-hmm. just having a good talk, and you know, for listeners yeah. to be able to listen to some of our thoughts, and for them to listen to some of our guests, you know, some of their thoughts and things like that. That's basically it, and it's been working really well so far, so I'm really excited about it.
That's great. Well, it's like I told you, you know, I like, you know, with even with our show, you know, Karen, who's, you know, usually here, but she's been teaching her son how to drive. God, I can't even imagine how terrifying. I've got like a good 14 more years until I have to do that with my little guy. So, I can't wait.
Right.
But, you know, it's like with us, we like to keep it really, you know, real conversational. I think that's important. That's the way you get out ideas, because I've listened to a lot of shows on, you know, a lot of podcasts and a lot of other shows, and it's just like question, answer, and it's like, holy crap, could you possibly be any more boring?
Exactly, and then you wake up a little bit later and then the show's over.
yeah.
I really agree with you with that. You know, if you're not real with the people that are listening to you, if you're not you, then why in the world are you doing anything? Why are you doing the show to begin with?
Yeah.
You've got to be real with people. You know, yeah. It may be ugly at times. It may not be the best. People may not like it. People may not like what you say.
Oh, I've had people call me an a-hole on the air before. So, no, it's totally cool. I understand.
But, you know, what I'm saying is if you're not real, then it's not even worth it. Be
yeah.
you, whether people hate you or not, mm-hmm. be you.
Yeah,
you know, that's been our approach, and that's what we try to do. You know, we're real, everyday people like anybody else.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely, I think that's the best way to go when you do anything in the media. I mean, it's like, you look at some of these people that are on television, and I remember I actually read a story about Chris Williams from Ghost Hunters International. Now, I'm sure
right.
that she's a very good investigator on her own, but I think I remember reading somewhere that she was going to charge some 10-year-old girl $50 for her autograph. It's like, who the hell do you think you are? All right, I'm hoping that I'm wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that I read that somewhere. So you got, but okay, now you guys have the radio show, but you guys also
right.
do like a television show as well. You know, is how can people see that?
Well, actually, it's on a local channel right now. It's local channel 7 at East Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Across the river from us. But on season 2, which we're currently working on, we have some things in the works, and it's going to be a new twist. Okay. You know, remember, like I said before, Spike Paranormal is not all about Spike Paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
sure.
just wait until season 2 comes out and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to give too much away, but
no spoiler alert
season...
here. You're killing
you
me, Shane.
Okay, well, now see, you're putting me in a bad position here, because I want to tell you, I really do, but
okay.
You know, I don't want to spoil it too much.
No, fine.
But you know, after the episode airs on season 2, after the first one airs, we're going to have it also available on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
to where we're going to format it to where we can have it on there, so anybody could watch. Season 2 of the Spike Paranormal television show. It's Spike Paranormal Real Ghost Stories is what our show is called.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at that. I just looked you guys up. I have this really, really awesome app on my phone. It's the YouTube downloader where I can download shows to it and watch it offline. So I watch stuff at work. And, yeah, I actually found a couple of your episodes on YouTube.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, well... the direction with this? I mean, where do you guys see the direct with all of this going?
Well, you know, the main thing with me, and I'm going to be honest, in the very beginning, whenever we were approached by, you know, the cable network,
sure.
when we were approached by them, we kind of lost our head a little bit, or like, okay, instead of focusing on certain things, what we were doing was, okay, is this being done for the show? When is the deadline for this show to be completed? Mm-hmm. When is the programming going to be all up? Of course, we spent a lot of time with some of the evidence that we captured and things like that, but I think we kind of lost focus. And, you know, I'm just being honest, being real here. I think we really lost focus in the first season as far as what it's all about. Why did we form Spy Paranormal to begin with? Why did we do it? Was it for a television show? Was it for a radio show? Absolutely mm-hmm. not. Without the radio show and the television show, who is Spy Paranormal when you strip all of that away? And I think that's what we really had to get together with the team and say, look, you know, why are we doing what we're doing?
Right.
And with that direction, with season two, like I said, I can't give anything away, but okay. People are going to see a lot of, it's going to see Spy Paranormal for who they really, really are. Yes, you see Spy Paranormal in the first season, but you're going to see Spy Paranormal in all their glory. Real people.
Don't put it that way, dude, because I do not want to see you naked.
Well, you're the first one that's ever said that to me. So.
Well, you said you're going to see you guys in all your glory. So I'm like, what kind of television show are you running here?
Okay, no, it's not. It's not going to be like a porn. Look, I gave somebody an idea now. Okay, okay. Now there's going to be a paranormal porn show or something. Now,
oh no, they're out there.
Of them. They're out there already.
Oh, I've heard of. Oh, like, my. You know, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I have not.
Oh yeah, I'm not like a porn guy or anything like that, but it's like you do get these things every now and then where you hear about it, like there's actual like ghost sexers and stuff like that. I've actually heard of this, whether or not it's real, it could very well be the truth, but I don't know.
We learn something every single day. I had no idea.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is so, it's so huge right now. I mean, I remember back in the day where it was like people used to look at me and say, wow, you're pretty friggin' weird, man. But now it's like, hey, that's awesome. I love what you do. Let me tell you my story. It's amazing how things in just a matter of a decade can change.
Right, right.
And now you have paranormal porn, so I don't know. It's exactly, things are definitely changing.
It definitely is, big time.
So, I'm sorry, Shane, go ahead.
But what I was saying, you know, like I said, season two, it's going to be, you know, you're going to see more of the heart of Spy Paranormal.
Okay.
What really drives them? What's the passion behind it? Why are they doing what they're doing? And that's what season two is really going to focus on a lot more.
Outstanding. Hey, you know what? If we have time, from what I understand, that you have sent us over a couple of EVPs. You know, I kind of like to talk about those a little bit because as everybody knows, I am an EVP junkie. I love hearing that voice that from somebody who definitely was unseen. So, Cheryl, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Do we have these EVPs set up that we can listen to them?
Well, actually, we don't. But what I want to try and do is play them off the web. They're on spikeparanormal.net, and I'm hoping that they can come through to the listeners through our broadcaster here. So we're going to give it a try. Turn up your speakers and really listen, because they don't come across well through the broadcaster, but I'm still hoping that they can, you know, they can still hear these. And if not, then we can possibly have Shane just tell us about them, because they are really interesting. So the first one that I have here it looks like it's from an investigation in August of 2011. And, and we're actually, don't say what it says yet, but can you tell us a little bit about where it was captured?
Okay, at the investigation, this was Brandon's house, okay? This is pretty much what launched Fight Paranormal. After I heard this EVP, I'm going to tell you, tears kind of welled up in my eyes. It really got me. So if the quality's not that great, I apologize, guys. Just listen. You're going to hear. We can go ahead and play it, and then I'll explain what's going on.
Okay.
All right,
cool.
Okay.
Brandon's house.
Okay.
Pretty much what launched by Paranormal.
Okay. Before we proceed. Ooh, I'm having an echo. Karen? Are you there?
I am there.
Are you in the chat room?
I don't have much of a voice, but I'm here.
Okay, Karen is making a guest appearance, but is your chat room thing on? I'm getting an echo.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I think it's gone now. Yeah. Karen's voice, she heard it last week, or Monday. And, yeah, I'm sorry, Karen. I hope you're feeling better.
You know, just for future reference, Karen, leave it to Texas Cowboys, Ken Gerhard, and giant guys named Bobo to do those kind of calls.
Poor Karen. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to try and play this. I'm hoping that it goes through and we can hear it and make a little game out of it. But here we go. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What was that from? Wait, never mind, because of that.
Yeah. Put the phone somewhere, right there, and then just walk into that room, and it may just be me, but it may just be...
Ooh, sorry about that. So first of
no
all,
problem.
Could the listeners hear that? Anybody in the chat room, could you hear that play through? Oh, yes, they could. Okay.
I hear something. I hear like what sounds like a woman's voice.
I heard a woman's voice.
Right.
Is that what the EVP was?
What did you hear? Could you make out any words? I know it's very difficult through the broadcaster that we have, but what could you guys hear? Any words?
I couldn't make out of any words, but it's definitely a female's voice, and she sounded like she was very sad.
She sounded kind of distant, too.
Okay, well, Shane, do you want to tell us about what you think the EVP said?
Yes, we had this, we analyzed this, we put it through some of our software. Actually, one of our investigators had some software, and we put it through the audio software, and we enhanced it and slowed it down. And actually, what we believe we hear it saying, and you know, I'm pretty much 95% this is exactly what it's saying. But it is a woman's voice at first, and you know, if it's amplified some more, you'll be able to hear if anybody puts it through some audio programs. You'll be able to hear a male's voice after the female's voice.
But the female's I thought that was one of you guys.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. Cool. Proceed. Sorry.
It says my name. It says Shane Brandon, and then you hear a male's voice that says, "I'll kill you."
Oh.
Yes.
So, Shane, when I was listening to it earlier before the show, I could definitely hear the name. So I heard Shane and then Brandon.
Right.
But I really had to strain to hear the other one that came right after it that said, "I'll kill you," or whatever. But I did catch it, but I really had to turn up my headphones all the way to make it out. So I don't know if our listeners can hear that, but I think the names you could definitely hear those probably. Mm-hmm. And I can play.
Right.
Do you guys want me to play it one more time?
Wait, the names
mm-hmm.
are also EVP?
Yes.
Okay, I thought that was an actual living, breathing person.
It was a funny voice. That like it sounded like kind of like a funny, high pitched woman's voice, kind of.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can listen on spikeparanormal.net if you are listening, and you click on from the homepage. You'll then click on previous investigations, and it's right there. You can play it and listen for yourself if you can't hear it over the broadcaster here. But okay, let me play it one more time, real quick, and I'll try catch it. Okay. Here it goes.
What was that from? Wait, never mind. Go for that.
Yeah. Put the phone somewhere. Right there, and then just.
So that was basically it. And what I heard was after it said Shane and then Brandon, and then it goes, I'll kill you. Like really low.
Yeah.
Really low. Did you hear that?
Once you amplify the audio, the second voice, you have to amplify it a lot, but it became more clear once we ran it through the audio program.
No, I definitely heard it that time. Ryan, how about you? Were you able to make that out?
I don't think I was actually, but it's always difficult when you know people hear different things when it, when it comes to the audio stuff.
Yeah.
I was hoping that Shane. I noticed on another one of the pages on Spike Paranormal's website that there was an EVP tab, and on one of them. You captured some movement of an object, and you believed it was some poltergeist activity. So can I play that one, and then you can tell us about it?
You sure can.
Okay, let me play it first, and then, well, maybe Karen, Rick, and Ryan, you can see if you can identify the what we're talking about here, and then Shane can tell us about it.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
He saw a bottle. He's moving it. Yeah.
Okay, well, that was it. It was at the beginning.
Yeah, it sounds like a glass or a cup or something moving across the table, maybe. But, man, I could have swore I heard a voice in there, too.
Really?
What was that, Karen?
Sorry, Karen, what's that?
I said I heard a dream in the background. That's all I heard.
A train?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to play it one more time.
I see some bottles. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even hear the train tell the second time. Thanks, Karen.
Yeah. I've tuned into those.
Is there a train nearby, Shane, or maybe that could be something there?
Yes. Yeah. No. I believe there was a train going by at that time.
Do you think maybe it was a train that was moving the object?
No. We were inside the house. See, we were sitting there. That little piece has been cut out. We actually had to, you know, cut that little audio file because we actually were sitting there for over 30 minutes with just in complete silence because we were waiting for the investigators, for the rest of our investigators to come over. This was at Brandon's house again.
Okay.
To come over so we can do some things because the reason why the sea salt bottle was there is because you know, we were reading up on some things, and we talked to some people that said, you know, if you sprinkle salt around the outside of your home and things like that, mm-hmm. then, you know, it could help in certain situations. So we emptied that whole bottle all the way around. Okay. Now, inside the house, to kind of give you the conditions and things like that, there was no fan going at the time, no air conditioning on, nothing. It was in complete silence. Mm-hmm. We were sitting there for over 35 minutes with nothing going on.
Okay.
Right before our investigators, when they pulled up on the driveway, is mm-hmm. when this actually happened.
Okay.
So, it was like, you know, something hitting it. It's like, yeah, you think this is going to work? This salt's going to mm-hmm. work? It's not. Things like that. That's what we gathered from it because of all the other activity that was going on.
But hold on a second. Now, okay. I have, you know, worked with house clearings, and I know Karen that you have as well. But from what I've understand and the way that I've researched it, the way that I've studied and participated, first you have to push the thing out and then put the salt around. Otherwise, you're just kind of like sealing it in.
That's what I understand.
Sorry about that.
No, it's quite right.
I'm just not very loud.
I could barely hear Karen. Is Karen on the phone right now?
I am. I'm sorry. I understand that you have to put salt around it too. Mm-hmm. I mean that you have to get it out first and then salt it.
Right. Well, see, we were hearing different things as far as what to do. And like I said, when this was going on, we weren't really started out as far as, okay, we're forming the group. This is what led up to forming Spike Paranormal. So to be completely honest with you, we didn't have a lot of experience as far as what to do in a situation like that. So it was something where it was a trial and error, what's going to work, what's not going to work. You know,
sure.
It was more of a trial and error thing at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough. So do we have a third one, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, this one was a little bit more difficult for me to hear when I listened earlier, but you can hear it if you really listen. And so I'll play it once, and then maybe Shane can describe it, and then I can play it again.
Okay, and which one are you playing now?
Oops. This was on the EVP page, and let me see if I can say what it's about. This one was captured at a local cemetery investigation.
Okay.
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay, here we go.
I feel a tightness on my chest.
Yeah, I feel dizzy and I don't feel right.
Exactly.
You spiked this to Red Wool Leaf.
Y'all can't put it yet to you, though.
It's not getting to me. I'm not afraid of this thing.
I know, but what I'm saying is...
Okay, that's it.
Was it that kind of like that hissing sound? Like, was it, yes?
Was
it like that?
It was like that. That's not what it said.
Okay.
That was what,
right.
That's what it was, yeah. Is that correct, Shane?
Well, okay, after it was said, it's not getting to me, I'm not afraid of this thing. You could hear a whisper right after that that says, you could be.
Oh.
Hmm.
So you may want to listen to it again. Maybe try it one more time and try to see if you can make it out.
Okay, and it's right at the end, right before it cuts off. So let me play it again.
Okay.
I feel a tightness on my chest.
Yeah, I feel dizzy and I don't feel right.
Exactly.
You spiked this to Red Wool Leaf.
Y'all can't put it yet to you though.
Not getting to me. I'm not afraid of this thing.
I know, but what I'm saying is, it was right under. Yeah.
So, was it? Mm. It was under the female investigator's voice, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I thought I heard like this scraping sound or like a hissing sound, like yes, and then you get on into the conversation. I mean, it could be somebody dragging their feet, but it sounds like something is saying yes.
Hmm.
Right, and you know, from the analyzing that we had from what we gathered, it right after, you know, when I said before, it says you could be. But there could be, it, you know, it could be a number of different things. You know, closer analyzing of the audio could bring up something that we missed. So
right.
It's a very big possibility.
Yeah, you may want to listen to that again, you know, to send it through some of your the gear that you guys have.
Right, definitely.
Yeah. So, okay, well, it's we're getting up near the end of the show. And, Shane, is there anything that you know, any kind of websites? You guys got any events coming up? You know, Ed, what to expect on your show? You know, Mr. Competition over here.
Well, yes, sir. We've got Facebook. You can find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com. Spike Paranormal Team. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Starring Shane. Brandon, you can follow him at Brandon_Gamble. And you can find us on YouTube, Spike Paranormal Team. Our radio show on Spreaker.com. You can listen to us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
We are planning a few investigations. One is going to be going back to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, which is one of my favorite places to investigate.
Okay.
And we're also planning a trip up to Gettysburg. So
nice.
We have some things in the works. Definitely. Yeah.
Gettysburg is something that you know everybody should go to. I haven't been, but my great great grandfather was, and but it was for an entirely different reason. So
right.
Well, you know, Shane, thank you so much for joining us. It was, you know, really good conversation. You know, it was nice to, you know, get to know you guys, and it was, you know, very refreshing again to see, you know, to talk to somebody who gets it, as I like to say. Yeah. So, you know, Shane, you, when you talk to Brandon, tell him that, you know, that we hope whatever it was that, you know, had to take him away from us, that, you know, we really hope that everything turns out for the best, whatever it may be. So,
I definitely will. I really appreciate you guys inviting me on the show and talking with me. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun tonight.
Cool. Awesome. So, okay. All right. Very good then. All right. Shane Pittman of Spike Paranormal. You know, maybe we can have you on again some other time, and especially when the book comes out and when the new season comes out and you're able to tell us what it's all about. You know,
that would be awesome.
Shane, this is a radio show, man. You know, this is an audio kind of thing where you're supposed to give some kind of spoiler alert. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. So, so, you know, thanks for coming on, and I hope you can, you know, join us maybe again sometime in the future.
Thank you guys very much. You guys are awesome, and we support you 100%.
Thank
you. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, you know, definitely another really good show. You know, kind of, you know, everything moved along real nicely, and it was good to get to know Spike Paranormal. You know, you get a lot of these you know, newer groups, and they have their radio shows and they have their television shows, and you know, it's like you never really get to know any of them. You never get to really know them until you get to talk to them.
Yeah, it's good to have another group that, you know, kind of has thinks along the same lines as you do and similar procedures and stuff. So.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, Karen, I'm going to be totally honest with you, and, you know, it's okay, you don't have to talk too much because I know that your voice hurts, but when I saw your name come up, I was excited. I'm like, I haven't talked to Karen in such a long time, so.
It's been a long time, yeah. I'm trying really hard to get the voice back because I tell you I want to talk to Jason next week. I've got the Dybbuk box coming up, and I love that story, as you know.
I'm really superstitious about it, but so, you know, calling out, I always thought that you didn't really believe in Bigfoot. I mean, what would cause you to give yourself major physical pain in order to call out something you don't really believe in?
Serious physical pain, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, I was describing something that somebody else had described to me.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that included this noise that they'd heard that they thought was Bigfoot calling.
And
so when I got to that part, I did it, and it almost felt like my head exploded. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's, yeah. you know, it always makes you wonder how, like, you know, Norwegian black metal guy, you know, lead singers of bands do that kind of thing, and they don't ruin their vocal cords.
Yeah, the Cookie Monster singers, I could not be a yodeler either.
No.
Good stuff.
I wouldn't want to sing. Nobody would want to hear me sing, especially yodel or even call out to Bigfoot or whatever.
Yeah, here's the good thing is that with this vocal injury, mm-hmm. I think my singing career might be over.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, Karen.
I think my singing career might be over with this vocal injury.
Oh, yeah. Definitely no more songs about how I ate my twin in the room in the womb.
Oh, I could find somebody else to sing it, though.
Well, let's take you up on that in the future. So, Cheryl, what do we have coming up? I know next weekend we're going to be talking about the Dybbuk box, so I will be burning, lots of sage around my computer when we're talking about that one.
Yeah.
But I'm a little superstitious about the Dybbuk box.
Well, yeah, I'm happy to say we're going to have our friend Jason Haxton back on. I think this will be his fourth time on the show.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he started off back before we were actually a live show. I think he was on the podcast. Wasn't he Karen?
He was our first guest.
On the live show. He was our very first guest. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
He is coming back next week on September 6th to talk about a few things. One of them is his book, the Dybbuk Box book, which mm-hmm. I did get a chance to read. And I think it's very interesting because it addresses a lot of the questions around the mystery of the Dybbuk Box and what it is and its paranormal attributes, and if they are paranormal, then this and that. And you know, I actually came away with maybe a few more questions. So
maybe you need to be on the mic next week then.
Well, I'll be here in case you guys want me to chime in with some questions. But it's a really good book. He's also going to talk about a little bit about The Possession, which is the new movie loosely based on the Dybbuk box. And we talked to him about it before, but since it's timely and I think it's coming out tomorrow, we'll get to talk to him about that next week. And then I'd really like to hear about any updates that he has on the box and what's going on with it, and also what he thought of the show Paranormal Witness, which was on last night and featured the story of the Dybbuk box. And I actually thought it mirrored what Jason and Kevin Manis, who was also a previous owner of the Dybbuk box, said on a podcast last year. And I was surprised at how closely it followed what they said in how they related the events to us last year. So I thought it was really interesting.
I liked seeing kind of reenactments to the stories that we've heard, because of course I've pictured it in my head as they've talked about this over the years,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that it actually was a lot like I pictured it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you guys please just be honest? You know, everything that you just said, Cheryl, is really nice, but come on, be honest. The reason that you really like it is because you know it's the one thing that scares the hell out of me.
That too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. In fact, I've made arrangements with Jason to for him to transport the box to your house for a week.
And you can do some
first-hand reporting on the box. What do you think?
No. I don't want that thing anywhere near me, my wife, or the future world's greatest psychical researcher, my son Theo. So
I'm just kidding. I didn't make those arrangements. Rick, I'll admit, I would not do that either.
So,
yeah, but anyway, that's going to be a fun show. And then the following week, September 13th, we're going to be talking to Robbie Thomas, who mm-hmm. is a psychic medium. And the following week, September 20th, we're going to be talking to Kimberly Brulé, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and mm-hmm. Chris Matheny from the Research Institute of the Paranormal.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be great to talk to them because they always put a lot of interesting posts on their Facebook page.
Yeah. So those are our next few guests coming up in September. And, I think it's going to be a fun month.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. And I'll try really hard not to talk between now and then.
You better not, because we want you on the show next week.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be honest with you, Karen, I have missed you.
I've missed you too, but I do have to tell you, I think Cheryl's trying to keep me off the show longer because as soon as she found out that I no longer had a voice, we talked on the phone for like an hour and a half yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really, I'm not trying to keep you out the show. I just like to talk to you.
Who doesn't? Huh?
Yeah. So, yeah, so, looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, Ryan, my special co-host tonight, is there anything that you got coming up anytime soon that you want to tell us before we sign off tonight?
We have Ascension Talk Radio over on the Hazy Radio Network every Sunday nights, 6 to 8 p.m. We got quite a cast of guests coming up the next couple months.
Who you guys got going on?
This Sunday we have John Brightman. Mm-hmm. He is the creator of Para Equipment.
Okay.
And also be broadcasting live from Dragon Con 2012. So that nice. Should be an interesting show.
Mm-hmm. Some nerd stuff. I can dig that.
Yeah, we have, we have a wide range of guests. It should be interesting. So
what's Dragon Con?
What's Dragon Con?
Yeah.
It's. I think it's a fantasy and sci-fi convention.
Okay.
Yes, that works for me, being the gigantic nerd that I am.
This is the largest multimedia popular culture convention focusing on science fiction and fantasy, gaming, comics, literature, art, music, and film.
Okay, well, that sounds like fun.
Sounds like everything I really kind of nerd out about. Yeah, definitely.
Pretty much anything you might like seems like they cover it, so...
I'm going to tell you about what gigantic nerd I am. Like, everybody knows that I am a huge Star Wars fan. So my dad got this thing from his boss the other day that his kid was going to throw out, and it's this box, and you press a button and it opens up, and that was kind of like the noise that you guys heard, and then I was like, cool, before we came on the show. And inside the box there is a manual called The Jedi Path.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know that's going to get read tonight when I'm at work.
Oh, man, that is totally nerd, Rick.
Yep.
Good thing I'm not a nerd like you and I'm really cool.
Hey, you know what I was telling somebody the other day? With nerds, we are the creators and we are the maintainers. Get used to it.
I'm married to the ultimate geek, so yeah.
Techie McScience Geek,
that's right.
So I think we're going to do is we're going to end the show about 5 minutes early tonight. And for Ryan, Misha, and Karen, thank you for, Ryan, thank you for joining us. Karen, I was really excited to see you come on. But definitely take care of that voice, I mean, seriously, that golden voice of yours.
Are you telling me to shut the bleep up?
No, not at all. In fact, I'm really hoping that it gets better and you come back because I miss you being on the show. So, on behalf of Paranormal Underground Radio as well as ParanormalUnderground.net, thank you everybody for listening. And again, thank you for Shane Pittman of Spike Paranormal talking to us tonight. And thank you again to Ryan Mishaw for being my special co-host. Thank you so much, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.